Tweet at TodaySOR.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Well, we're going to sport now. We're getting down to business in both the hurling and the football championships. For a look back at the hurling action in Semple Stadium yesterday and at the football produced in Tullamore, I'm joined in studio now by former All-Ireland winning manager with the Cork Hurlers, Donal O'Grady, by freelance GAA journalist Orla Bannon, and by Kieran Murphy of the Second Captains podcast on the Irish Times website, and indeed the Second Captains Championship show here on RTÉ Radio 1. Good morning to you all, and thank you all very much indeed for coming in. I suppose, Donal, we'll start with the hurling, as we have you here. Dublin, they went to Semple yesterday to meet Tip on their home turf. Did you expect a bit more from Dublin?
I must say, Keelan, you know, I was expecting them to come down with all guns blazing. They don't travel well, that has to be acknowledged at the beginning. You know, they're a little short up front, but I felt, you know, a lot of people were talking about this could be Dublin's last hurrah, so to speak. It could be Anthony Daly's last time with them, maybe. So I was expecting to come down, you know, a bit like the Battle of Clontarf and Brian Boru. Give it everything you have and see where it takes you. And if you run out of steam with 10 minutes to go, so what? But at least you'd have served up a performance. I was looking for Dublin to serve up a performance full of intensity. It just didn't happen.
It was pretty lacklustre from the very beginning, really, wasn't it?
It was only once or twice. You know, I was doing commentary with Marty Morrissey, and there was only once or twice that you'd say like that Dublin got the intensity right. But possibly they had Alan McCrabb centre forward, Ryan O'Dwyer on the wing. Possibly it might have been better off if Ryan O'Dwyer was in the central position. He was the sort of heartbeat of the team over the last few years to drive the intensity, but it just didn't happen. And, you know, we'd say in media parlance, right, Tip ran out easy winners. That was the way it happened, you know. So disappointing game, really, for the fans. Both games were disappointing because they were poor contests, really.
Yeah. Kieran, what do you think this means now for Anthony Daly? I mean, he was speaking to RTÉ Sport afterwards about it. He certainly seems to be thinking about whether or not he's going to move
on. It's a strange question. It's a question I believe I may have asked Donald at one stage or other over the last couple of years, you know, sort of what does the future hold? And it's a question that people are uncomfortable asking and managers are uncomfortable answering in a lot of instances. But this is the major talking point in a lot of ways looking at this, because for whatever reason people are talking about the shelf life of Anthony Daly, and you know he's run out of road at this Dublin team.
He has achieved a lot, hasn't he?
When you think about it, Dublin lost to Westmeath in the Leinster Hurling Championship 7 years ago, so that's the progression, you know. But what people are looking for is not a progression from when he took over. They're looking at year-on-year progression. When that's not there, then people maybe are asking questions. Now, the one thing that I would say about this is that he's gotten old with that team in a lot of respects in the job. So the team he went with in his first year in 2009 when they reached an All-Ireland quarterfinal, you know, you're looking at a lot of the same names yesterday.
So there hasn't been enough young blood coming into the team. And why is that? Is there a lack of a culture of hurling in Dublin still?
The big thing is they've reached All-Ireland minor finals in 2011, 2012. The best players from those teams are currently wearing navy blue, but they're playing football. And that's the big thing. You know, you're looking at...
Well, apart from Colm Cronin, who's made a transition, but they're short on, you know, the likes of Cormac Costello
Kieran Kilkenny.
Kieran Kilkenny. But they're going to go with football because football is the main game. And, you know, the way I said it, the jangle of silverware is always there, whereas the hurlers are more, you know, they're the appendage, really. It's like the Kerry hurlers. I won't say Cork footballers, I get murdered when I go home. But that's the way it is. There's, you know, there's teams that are, you know, there's counties that, you know, it's predominantly football and they're going to go that way.
Yeah, and how do you even say to an 18-year-old Dubliner to pick hurling ahead of football? I mean,
well, maybe that's something that Dublin are going to have to look at. Maybe they're going to have to force guys to choose
earlier on.
I mean, as you say, Cormac Costello would have made some difference there to that Dublin forward line yesterday. I think Anthony Daly deserves more than what those players served up yesterday. I mean, 12 and 13 point defeats against Kilkenny. And then yesterday, I mean, he's given a lot to Dublin hurling. I mean, they've won a league, they won a Leinster title, and they came out yesterday, even when they came out after halftime, they didn't give it anything. I mean, they didn't even score for 5 or 6 minutes after halftime. They needed to get the first score to get going, and it just didn't happen for them.
What do you think? Were they just worn out?
No, I mean, that was the excuse that you could possibly give to Wexford in the other game, who were coming off the back of a lot of games. I don't think we could say that about Dublin. I mean, we've seen Lewis Hamilton in the Hungarian Grand Prix yesterday ignoring team orders. I mean, the Dublin players went out yesterday. They certainly must have ignored team orders. I mean, that did not go to script at all. And I think Anthony Daly has to be very disappointed at that performance.
Yeah, but where Dublin are concerned, they don't have the hitmen up front. If you, like, you know, it's every manager, and I've been there, you set out your plans beforehand and you set out, okay, if this guy isn't going well, what do we do? And you have all that made out, but you look behind you on the bench and see, like, right, have we anybody that's going to be a game breaker or make the difference? Dublin just don't have them.
So you need the stars.
Anthony Daly would want the magic wand yesterday to, you know, he'd want a hurling, we'll say, equivalent of Lionel Messi or Neymar or whoever that would come on, a spark of genius and a goal, but they're just not there.
Yeah, I mean, we're a lot of talk about Dublin today, but there was another hurling match yesterday. Orla, what do you think on that one? I mean, you're talking about Wexford there. Just how tired were they going into that match yesterday?
I mean, Wexford, there was so much hype about them coming into the game. You know, they've had a great summer. You know, from a media point of view, we're as guilty, more guilty than anyone. We want a story. We love a new name, a new set of players. Everybody got carried away with a fairy tale. They put Clare out. I mean, God knows what David Fitzgerald and Clare made of that performance yesterday. You know, when you've lost a team, the last thing you want to do is see that team just collapse, you know?
Yeah, and I think... And they did, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's just the point of it. I mean, it's interesting to put the two defeats side by side and say... Right, you can, you know, Wexford, you know, absolutely destroyed on the scoreboard, and yet you can kind of make excuses for them in a way that maybe you can't about the Dublin defeat. But I mean, I was in Nolan Park last Saturday week for the match against Waterford, and there's no denying it. When Wexford are flying, they bring a colour and an excitement and a passion in the stands and on the field that not many counties can actually bring. So it's only natural for us, even from outside Wexford, to get kind of caught up in that. But there, you know, they were brought down. There was a harsh reality to how Limerick played yesterday, and experience around the middle of the field actually rolled throughout the spine of the team. You know, you've Richie McCarthy, Wayne McNamara, the two guys at midfield. Like, there's real conviction about what Limerick do on the field. Really,
and they're going on now to meet Kilkenny. What do you reckon there?
Well, it's going to be, I think it's going to be, the two games that are left now are going to be 50-50 games. I mean, I think that the disadvantage for Limerick will be a big confidence boost for them yesterday, right, okay? The disadvantage is that, you know, Brian Cody and the Kilkenny management would have been sitting in the stand and saying, hey, these guys are better than what we thought. So they're on, you know, forearmed, just forewarned. So they're on sort of red alert now, and they'll see what Limerick did yesterday. They'll have a look at their strengths and look at their weaknesses, and they'll plan accordingly. Whereas if Limerick had won ugly and won by a few points yesterday playing badly, it might have been a better way to approach the semi-final. But look, I'd say TJ Ryan will be thrilled with the, you know, as long as they keep their feet in the ground last year. You know, we say the team and the fans were allowed to run away with things. But, you know, both semi-finals, Tip versus Cork and Limerick versus Kilkenny, are going to be tight affairs. And, you know, it's a toss-up, I'd say.
And talking about Tipperary, I mean, Orla, do you think they look like all-line contenders at this point?
Tipperary? Mm. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be impressed with their performance yesterday. They've got some serious scoring forwards. I mean, they're going to definitely test out that Cork defence. I think it's the first time that they'll have played in Crow Park, is that right?
Ever, Donald? Yeah. They've never played in Crow Park together.
It's going to be, it'll be a massive crowd.
The one thing I would say about Tipperary is that 4 weeks ago, everyone was asking these huge questions about their mentality, their ability to win tight games. And, you know, there appears to have been a sea change there because of three results. One against, you know, Galway, and you'd have to say that Galway just don't have the consistency to be ranked up there with the top teams. An Offaly team who were just very poor, and Dublin who were equally as bad, really, in a lot of ways. I would put a major caveat over Tipper. I was very surprised.
But they have momentum now, Murph. You know, they're coming good at the right time. Cork haven't had a game in a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just think that there's a body of work there with Cork that over the last 12 months they've got to an All-Ireland final. Were denied that an All-Ireland title by, you know, won the million shot by a cornerback. He'll never hit that point again.
He won't, because he's not being picked.
Exactly it. And they've won a
Munster.
Yeah, and they've won a Munster final. I just think that there's more to Cork than to Tipperary.
That things are going to be tight. You can't say, you know, with conviction that, look, Cork are going to win this by 5 or 6 points, whatever else. You know, the games will be won by a point or two, I think. That's the way they're going now. After 10 minutes yesterday, you wouldn't be saying that Limerick were going to run away with the game, but they did, right? So, but I don't think you're going to get semi-finals that are going to be large gaps.
So if I were to ask you now to who's going to be in the final, who would you go for?
Well, you'd go with favouritism, you'd go with Cork and Kilkenny. But there's no guarantee of that happening. You wouldn't be surprised, Keelan, if it was a case of it ended up with any of the four being in the final. But you know, you'd be looking at Cork and Kilkenny probably.
Let's move on to the football now. I mean, one thing that was really interesting about the football this weekend was that it was all on Sky Sports.
Yeah.
that you couldn't watch it unless you had the Sky Sports channel. I mean, I think not many matches were going to Sky, but to have all of the football in one weekend on Sky, what do you make of it?
Yeah, well, I was actually talking to my brother about this in March or April, and he was like, what impact is this actually going to have? Turns out there's been two Galway football games and two Galway hurling games on. So he's missed four games in a row. Now, the option was, of course, to go to Tullamore, and only, I think, 7,500 people decided to do that, which was a very disappointing crowd for a double bill of games in the last 12 of the football qualifiers. But, I mean, I think that it's obviously something that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. And if you thought that may have raised a few eyebrows, wait till Dublin-Monaghan or Dublin-Kildare is going to be on Sky Sports, like the Dublin All-Ireland quarterfinal is going to be on Sky Sports. I think we'll probably be hearing quite a bit more about it.
That's when it'll really become a talking point, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, well, actually looking at the football there, Cork really did redeem themselves a bit with a win over Sligo.
Well,
there,
they did, and that was expected because, you know, Sligo wouldn't be classed as like top class opposition, but I was delighted actually for Cork football manager Brian Cuthbert because himself and the players got a desperate doing in social media and from after the Kerry game. So I was delighted that he got a chance to redeem himself, and they did. And they went back to maybe being practical. They dropped back a few wing forwards back in defence, and you know that's the way. I mean, Donegal do that, and that's the way of playing today. And it's funny, sport is a way of, you know, you're up and you're down. And I was just interested last week. You know, the English cricket captain Alistair Cook was coming under ferocious pressure. His batting form had gone completely, and they were calling for his head. And during the summer in England, like cricket is the big game because soccer isn't on and rugby isn't on. And he scored 95 yesterday in the test in Southampton against India in the third test. So you know, that brought him back. And you can imagine the pressure he was under, his family were under, same as Brian Cuthbert and the others. And in Ireland, I have a great sympathy for managers because it's an amateur game, and but they're treated as if they're professionals.
Orla, what do you reckon? I mean, would you say that Cork have kind of addressed the issues around their confidence, or would you still have question marks?
No, I think there's still a lot of question marks about Cork, particularly around midfield. Now, Brian Cuthbert made six changes for the weekend. We've seen one of the guys who was dropped, Fintan Gould, come on, made a huge impact in the game. When he came on, I expect him to start this weekend. But no, I think both Cork and Galway still would have serious question marks over them going forward.
Really?
Well, midfield is the issue, I think. Like, but you see Kerry then, midfield was the issue all during the league, and then they're superstars now after the Munster final. So, I mean, there's question marks over them as well. So
I think that the analysis going into next weekend and the two qualifiers are Cork Mayo and Galway Kerry on Sunday. It all boils down to how much or how little you actually want to ascribe to the Munster final. And were Kerry as good as they were that day, and were Cork as bad as they were that day? And I think that, you know, there are times when teams are just so bad. Like Cork were just historically bad in the Munster final, and you know,
historically bad in this Munster final.
I'm sure there were two or three.
I've seen them being historically bad in a good few, I can tell you.
Yeah, but I mean the Munster final of this year, I mean,
yeah, it was a poor game.
Yeah, and in ways, you know, players can actually write it off quicker than fans can because they have no option. You know, if fans can kind of sit there and say, oh, you know, that was just terrible, and they can just stay in that frame of mind. Players have to go into the training on Tuesday, feel terrible about it, go into training on Thursday, feel a little less terrible about it, and then say, right, we've got Sligo, we have to prepare for this game.
So yeah, I think if you win that, at least you're over the hump, and you forget about that, then that's your last game, you're only good to your last game, so at least they'll come on a bit. Mayo's going to be a big test, but, you know.
But what was a disappointing weekend, let's say, for football and hurling, there was one moment of magic to redeem the whole lot, which was Shane Walsh's point.
Yeah.
The Galway player. It was a brilliant score. Such instinct to do what he did.
Talk us through it. Remind our listeners what he did.
It was a 45 that came in from Paul Conroy, and he had his back to goal. The easiest thing in the world for him to do as a young player was to just lay that ball off to someone coming in. But he took the responsibility on. I mean, I don't know how he took all the pace off the ball with his right foot, got it up into his hands, jinked left, went on to his right, slung it over his right shoulder with his left foot. It was a fabulous score.
Your buddy commentator here, I'd say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, you totally brought it to life there. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. But, you know, we've seen what hype did to Wexford, so we won't hype him up too much, but he's definitely a special talent.
Yeah,
so we'll look forward to seeing him this weekend.
That training every night, Orla.
Yeah.
Just the cameras are there.
The first time he actually came to national consciousness was actually in a Hogan Cup final for St. Gerrard, where he was taking frees off the ground with his left foot and his right foot. Mm. And oftentimes the biggest decision he has to make in a field is actually which foot to kick the ball with. But he's extravagantly gifted. I mean, I think that he's a young player who's got many of the sort of the foibles of younger players in that, you know, he can be brilliant one moment and not so great the next, but certainly he's imminently watchable anyway.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to leave it there, but very briefly, you have just interviewed Michael Parkinson, Ciarán, for your own podcast. He started out as a sports journalist.
Yes, he did.
I didn't know that, did you?
Yeah, he did. He worked for a long number of years. He tells us a hilarious story on the podcast, which will be available on irishtimes.com/secondcaptains actually in the next few minutes, but that he used to write reports of matches that he played himself. So
with him in a starring
magic
role.
Yeah, Magic Mike strikes again.
Parky
the goal hero. Some of the headlines are absolutely brilliant. But he worked for a long number of years as a sports journalist and befriended a guy called Arthur Hopcraft, who wrote one of the great football books, The Football Man. So that's part of what we're talking to Parkinson about, but also his own career in football today. So you should check that out if you can.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to leave it there. But thank you all very much indeed for coming in to us this morning.